All right. Good evening, everyone. Good evening. All right. Who are excited for the word here this evening? Come on. You know, we have embarked on a series 5 weeks ago. We call this Truth Be Told. For those of you who are not here for the past how many weeks, and this is your first time to be here, we're basically looking at the parables of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, if you're reading your Bible, you would come to understand that this is one of those things that Jesus did to be able to communicate to his audience, all right? He would be using parables, different kinds of parables, I think, scattered all over the Synoptic Gospels concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. I think there are at least 40 or more than 40 different stories or parables that he shared to different audiences. And this evening, okay, we are now on the fifth one. You know, here's what I want us to understand. We're shifting gear in the middle part of this series, okay? It's our fifth one, but we're shifting gears simply because starting tonight up until the end of November, we're going to look at the parables of the Lord Jesus Christ that concerns faith and finance, all right? Meaning to say, tonight and the next how many weeks, we're going to talk about money, all right? Who am I here can honestly say that, you know, money is an important tool that you need to have in your life, all right? All of us here, at a certain point in our life, we need money. In fact, for some of us, diba, sometimes it's difficult for us to focus on the work at hand if we don't have money in the pocket. And so what we're going to do is that we're going to unpack God's word, okay, and look at what it has to say about our own finance and even our faith for that matter. So we're going to start it off here this evening. But let me just start this off to put us basically on a same page. Allow me to share with you a verse that is fundamental and instrumental for us as Christians. It's actually found in Ephesians chapter 2 verses 8 to 9. Let me just start this off with this verse right here. Look at this one. I do understand this doesn't talk about money. But the manner in which you understand this verse will spill over, okay, to your attitude towards finance, all right? Look at this one. It says here, for by grace, can everybody say grace? Grace? All right? It says here, in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, it says here, for by grace you have been saved, all right, through faith. Look at this one. It says here, and this is not your own doing, all right? It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one can boast, all right? You open your Bible, you start with the book of Genesis, read through the book of Revelation, you would come to understand that this is actually an overarching theme in the Bible, okay, that there's an overtone of grace in there. In fact, if you would be a little more keen in reading your Bible, you would come to also know that Jesus actually never used the word grace in talking to people. It's just that his attitudes, his actions are all evidences of his grace over our lives. Why am I sharing this? I want us to understand. First things first, we are here because of God's grace.
That's right.
Amen? We're here, we are able to worship God together. In this kind of fellowship, it's all because of God's grace. Right? The reason why you're able to breathe in and breathe out, it's all because of God's grace. Right? It says here, it's all because of God's grace. It is something that is freely given to us. Not about our merits. Okay? Not about our merits. Not about the good things that we do in our lives. It's all just because of the grace of God. The reason why I am starting off with this verse right here is very simple. Look at this one. I do understand that this concerns the salvation of our souls. Right? But I want us to understand that the grace of God doesn't just encompass the salvation of our souls, it permeates every area of our life, including your finance. Meaning to say, you will be blessed financially because of God's grace over your life. I want us to turn our Bibles for a while to Matthew chapter 19. This is not our text for this evening, but this is where we're coming from. Meaning to say, this is the context. So here's what we're going to do. As we read the different verses here tonight, we will be reading a couple of verses. But as we read all of these verses, I want us all to put our lenses on, okay, our faith and finance lenses on. Meaning to say, I will be talking about all of these verses in light of God's provision over your life. All right? Now look at this one. Matthew chapter 19, verses 23 to 30. It says here, and Jesus said to his disciples, truly I say to you, look at this one, only with difficulty will a rich person enter the kingdom of heaven. Then it says here, again I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. Let me just try to explain that for a while. The reason for this is, there was a rich young man, who am I seated right next to a rich young man, all right, by faith. Come on now. There was a rich young man, just like this guy right here, okay, si Mav. Ay, nako, kilala niyo ba to? Ay, nako, bigatin yan, all right? There was a rich young man who approached him, asking about eternal life, and the guy was boasting about his accomplishments. I've done this, I've done that. Jesus issued him a challenge, he walked away from God. That's why he said, Jesus was like, that's why it's difficult for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. He said, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. Look at this one. That is not a figurative statement. In fact, there is actually a place that's called the eye of a needle in Israel. Okay, in fact, when people would try to bring in their camels in that place, the camels will have to stoop down and bend, and then the camel will have to do whatever it needs to do to get through that eye of a needle. Okay, just use your imagination, all right? Then for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. In verse 25, it says here, when the disciples heard this, look at this one, they were greatly astonished, saying, who then can be saved? If that is the case, who then can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, with men, this is impossible. With God, all things are possible. That's why, at the end of the day, this is all because of God's grace over our lives. Right? Then, after hearing that, look at this one. Peter said, in reply, well, we can honestly say that when you read your Bible, you would come to know that Peter is actually a bold person. Right? Do you have friends who are like that? They tell you the truth with no love. I mean, Peter's like that. I mean, you have friends who are like that. They will tell you if your breath stinks. Peter is a bold person. Sometimes, you know, it's doing him good. Sometimes, it's not doing him good. But look at this one. Out of a pure heart, he said to Jesus, all right, if that's the case, that guy left. Since we have left everything and followed you, what then will we have? He's now asking for the rewards that they're going to have. Truth of the matter is, there is going to be a reward for people who follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. Do you folks know, if you read your Bible, you would come to know that when everything is said and done, you're going to have a reward in heaven? All right? Of course, that is another preaching. That's another story. Just to tell you, there's going to be a reward for you. What then will we have? Jesus said to him, truly I say to you, in the new world, the new Jerusalem, when the Son of Man will sit in his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Okay? And when everyone was left, houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or lands, for my name's sake, will receive a hundredfold and will inherit eternal life. Come on now. But many who are first will be last and the last first. All right, we're encouraged with that actually. All right, if you're encouraged with that, guess what? That is not our text for tonight. Okay, you just started off the conversation by talking about that. What we're going to look at here is the parable that he shared right after saying this. All right, look at this one. Here's the parable. I like this. You can turn your Bibles with me. Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 to 16. All right, if you don't have your Bibles, it's okay. We have it here on the screen. Look at this one. This is a wonderful story, one of those good parables that Jesus shared. In verse 1, it says, look at this one. For the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Right? After agreeing with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them on into his vineyard. In verse 3, and going out about the third hour, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, all right? Third hour there is 9 a.m. in the marketplace. Verse 4, and to them he said, hey, you go into the vineyard too, and whatever is right, I will give you, right? So they went, going out again about the sixth hour, 12 noon, okay, and the ninth hour, 3 p.m., he did the same thing. And about the 11th hour, 5 p.m., he went out and found others standing, and he said to them, why do you stand here all day? Right? They said to him, it is because no one has hired us. He said to them, you go into the vineyard too. And when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, call the laborers. So, para may pagka-contractor to. Call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last up to the first. All right? And when those hired, about the 11th hour, 5 p.m. workers, when they came, each of them received a denarius. Now when those hired first came, 6 a.m. workers, they thought they would receive more, but guess what? Each of them also received a denarius. And on receiving it, they grumbled at the master of the house, saying, "This last work only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us, who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat." But he replied to one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last worker as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity?" So the last will be first and the first last. Now look at this one. Let me just try to explain something for a while. You know, we're now on the fifth installment of this series, okay? We're looking at God here as a what? Master of a house. If you would observe, okay, we started off this series by what? Jesus started talking about the parable of the sower. He was likening God to the sower, right? What did the sower do? The Bible says the sower went out and started what? He started, come on now. He started sowing, he started scattering seeds. The seeds fell on different types of grounds. You guys remember that? After that, we started talking about the parable of the lost son, wherein, in that story, okay, God was likened to the, come on now, God was likened to the good father. The father in that story is God himself. In that same story, you would see the heart of the father towards his lost son and his eldest son. Now, in this story right here, this is quite different simply because we see here that Jesus is likening God to the master of a house. All right? So, meaning to say, in this story right here, God is being portrayed. Can everyone say portrayed? Portrayed? All right? In this parable, God is being portrayed as the master of a house. I do understand in this current generation that doesn't fit in quite well because we don't know what a master of a house mean. So meaning to say, when you say a master of a house, you're talking about what? You're talking about an employer or a boss or an owner. All right? Who am I? You're seated right beside someone who looks like a boss. Di ba? Mukhang boss yan. That is basically what we're looking at here. When we say master of a house, we're talking about someone who is the boss. Meaning to say he owns so many things, part of what he owns is basically the vineyard. All right? Where our story will be evolving for that matter. Now, the master of a house here is the boss or the employer. The second part of that text in verse 20, look at this one. It says here, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house." So, meaning to say, all of us here, we now have a picture of the master of a house. We know that this is God himself. Now, look at this one. Again, like what I told you a while ago, we will read this with the lens of what? Of God's grace, of his provision in our life. It says here, look at this one. Like a master of a house, look at this, who went out early in the morning. All right? He went out early in the morning. Let me just ask this for a while. Who am I here? You are a morning person. Who am I here? You wake up at like 5 in the morning or 4:30 a.m., right? Di ba 4 a.m., nagtitimpla ka na ng energen, mga ganun. Di ba? So, look at this one. If we will be talking about your parents, right? I don't know with you, but to my knowledge, the case is always like this. The parents are always the first one to wake up more than the kids, right? Do we have parents who wake up at like 11 and the kids wake up at 6:30 a.m.? Tapos pagising ng daddy, parang, "Anak, pasensya ka na, nagdota kami ni mama mo kagabi." Wala namang ganun, di ba? It's almost always that the parents would are the ones who's going to wake up early in the morning. Now look at this one. If your parents wake up early in the morning and the moment you wake up at 8 in the morning, the moment you open your eye, you go to the table, what do you have? You have what? A breakfast prepared in front of you. Breakfast has already been prepared. What is my point here? I want you to understand this. Some of you here need to hear this. Some of you here are anxious about your finance right now. Some of you here are believing God for your quota. Some of you here would want to get out of debt. Some of you are anxious about this specific area of your life. I want you to understand this. The God that you worship, okay, God is always ahead and He is never late. God is always ahead and He is never late. If you're so keen about the parables that we have been looking so far, look at this one. The parable of the sower gives us a picture that in the morning, the sower went out. Come on now. The parable of the prodigal son gives us a picture that every single day, the father is always out there. In this story right here, early in the morning, the owner of the vineyard is already out there. It gives you a picture, folks, that the God that we worship here in this place is not confined in the cubicles of His room, but He is out there preparing your breakthrough. He is out there always preparing whatever it is that is best for us. He went out early in the morning. Exodus chapter 16, verse 21, talking about the daily manna that the Israelites have. Look at this one. It says here, after this, the people gather the food. Look at this one. Their food always comes, what? Morning by morning. There's always something fresh that has been prepared for them. Folks, listen, while you're thinking about your provision for today, God is already preparing your provision for tomorrow. At the end of the day, it's just a matter of how much you hinge your faith into the truth of God's word. But while you're so concerned about the provision today, guess what? He has already gone ahead of us. He's already preparing the provision that He has for you. Now, let me just try to explain this story for all of us. It says here, he went out early in the morning. What did he do? Look at this one. He went to hire laborers for the vineyard. In verse 2, it says here, after agreeing with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. Let me just try to explain this for a while. I have here a picture of a vineyard. So the story is something like this. Now, a vineyard is a place where there are a lot of vines. Ah, galing naman. Kasi vineyard, vines, parang pareho, di ba? So, they would do grape picking. But here's the thing. It's not every month that laborers will be hired to go to the vineyard. Why? Because not every day is harvest time. You folks got in the Philippines, right? You don't always have the same fruits every single month. We call it what? We call it seasonal, right? You have durian for this month. But it's basically like that. It's actually seasonal. So at this time, the story that Jesus was basically sharing was, it's now actually harvest time. Okay? It's actually harvest time. That is why, okay, landowners during that time would hire laborers. Okay? Just to put this in a good context, just like maybe in Negros Oriental, right? If you're here and you're from Baay City, there are groups of people in Baay who owns vast sugar canes. During October, what they will do, I know of people from Dumaguete who would be hired as laborers to go to Baay, and they're the ones who's going to harvest all of this sugar cane. So it's something like that. The situation or the scenario was something like that. Now, look at this one. The picture that Jesus was drawing here is something like this. He said, it's like there is a certain place where every single laborer who wants to work will have to go if they want to get hired. Right? This is not a random chance of the vineyard owner going out there and meeting people. Hey, you want to work? Hey, you want to work? It wasn't like that. People know that by October, it is harvest time. That's why they all go to the marketplace. Right? If they want money, they have to go to the marketplace so that the vineyard owner can look at them and see if they are fit to work as laborers. Let's try to play this out for a while. Okay, among the groups that we have here this evening, who wants to be the group here who's the laborers? Okay, sila, agree sila. Let's say these are the laborers right here. So every single laborers from all walks of life, it's something like this, from people from Bayawan, people from Valencia, they all go to building 2. Something like that. They all go to building 2, of course. You know, it's like a talent search. All the vineyard owners will go to building 2 and will check on every single one on that. Titignan nila, oye, pwede to, pwede. Pero pag yung itsura mo, parang hindi mo kayang magkarga na kahit isang hollow block na hindi ka makukuha. Right? I mean, tingnan nyo naman to. Between JM and me, I mean, if vineyard owner would come to us, sino ma-hire sa aming dalawa to work in the vineyard? Of course, si JM, kasi yung kanya, tunay na muscle, yung akin, tabang lamig. You guys catch that? Meaning to say, when the vineyard owner went to that place, he knows what he's looking for. He's looking for what? He's looking for the best of the best in this batch right here. You know, the thing here is, they are paid on a daily basis. Why? Why are they paid on a daily basis? Well, you are working. You're working. Come on. You're a salaried person. 15th, 30th. You guys know what I'm talking about. Come on. You're proud that you have a job. Come on now. All right. Well, you're proud of your boss. You're proud of your boss. Actually, gusto ko makita yung mga staff ng church kung nagra-raise ng kamay. Ah, yun, yun. Okay, okay, good. Thank you, thank you. All right, now look. You're paid on what? 15th and 30th. Guess what? You do this every single day. Every single day, every single week, every single month. But for them, they can't do this every day. Why? Because harvest is seasonal. So meaning to say, the rest of the months, they are actually hungry. That's why they're always coming to the marketplace during harvest time for people to hire them. So meaning to say, ang ilang sweldo, inadlaw. Catch that? What's the opposite of inadlaw? Okay, come on. Pakyaw. Okay? Their payment is not pakyaw. Their payment is inadlaw. In the 10 a.m. service, I asked them, what's the opposite of inadlaw? May nagsabi, tibugol. Sa'yo parang pangit pakinggan. Parang iba. Iba yung image na lumalabas sa mind ko pag sinabing tibugol. Parang, I don't want to receive something that's tibugol, di ba? Some of you are clueless about that. Don't worry. You will experience that. You know, they're paid on a daily basis. This is what the story is saying. They're paid on a daily basis. And guess what? Our job, for those who are working here, for example, John right here, he's working at a certain company here. Man, this guy is paid 55,000 pesos. Every 15 days, all right? So, now look at this. No, joke lang yan, joke lang, joke. Okay? By faith, right? By faith. Now, people who are working in different companies, in Dumaguete, what time do you clock in? What time do you clock out? You go to an office usually at? You start work at 8 a.m. Okay, at 8 a.m., you end at 5 p.m., right? That's depending on your Facebook time. Right? Because 8 a.m. is an 8 a.m. till 9:30. Okay, work 9:30 till 11:30 Facebook. Tapos siesta, lunch, wala na. But anyway, it's always from 8 until 5. During their time, it wasn't like that. Laborers will have to work from what? That's why he went out early in the morning. Laborers will have to work from 6 a.m. until 6 p.m. How many hours is that? They work for 12 long hours under the heat of the sun. Right, picking grapes that doesn't belong to them. Okay, sana yung grapes, diba? At least makaay mo kung sayo. Eh, problema, hindi sayo, sa owner ng vineyard. Right? For 12 hours, they work for 12 long hours. And I want to show you how much they're paid. I have here a picture of the different coins during the Roman Empire in Jesus' time. You know, these are actually real coins that were unearthed in different times. Now, what does the Bible says in that story? The Bible says, the laborers were paid what? They were paid a denarius, okay? The denarius here is that coin right there. Okay, that's the denarius right there. How do you say coin in Cebuano? Coins. Right, coin? Okay, talaga. Sincere raw, coins. Now look, that's the denarius right there. That's the kind of coin that they were given after 6 p.m. Now, let me just try to talk about this for a while for us to be able to grasp what Jesus is trying to share here. Look at this one. What is the buying capacity of a denarius? Okay? What can a denarius buy? These are different kinds of coins. Look at this one. Different coins have different buying capacity. Different coins have different buying power. If you remember, there's a story about the poor widow, the Bible says, who gave everything that she had. Those were different kinds of coins. Those were not denarius. In fact, those coins were only good enough to be able to buy a place in the public bath. Right? Now, these are different kinds of coins. Maybe some of these coins can buy this much. Yung iba dyan, pang world of fun lang. But a denarius, what can it buy? At the end of the day, a denarius can buy loaves of bread. That's it. So meaning to say, look at this one. Every kind of laborer, strong ones, poor ones, unfit, misfit, every single one will go to the marketplace hoping that they will land a job in the vineyard so that they can go home with loaves of bread for their families. A denarius was already a generous pay for a day's work for a laborer in that time. Why is that so? Look at this. A denarius is almost the same amount paid to a Roman soldier. So meaning to say, this is not the real value of the laborers in that time. In a socioeconomic class, Roman soldiers are a little higher than laborers. But the vineyard owner right here is giving them a denarius. What does it tell us? It gives us a picture that the vineyard owner is generous. Even if you have a work mentality as a Christian, that doesn't undermine the fact that God is indeed generous. That's the first thing that we have to understand, okay? That the vineyard owner is basically generous. Let's look at the scenes that happened here. In verse 2, after agreeing with the laborer for a denarius a day, look at this one, he sent them. Now look at this one. It says here, there's a word that would basically catch your attention, and that word is the word agreeing. Can everybody say agree? Look at this one. They agreed on a certain amount, and that amount is a denarius. So it's something like this. You work for 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., you get a denarius. Very simple. Guess what? Because they agreed, it only means one thing. They entered into a contract. You catch that? How did that happen? Look at this one. There's like thousands of laborers who want to get in the field. There's like thousands of laborers who want to have money. Of course, only the strong ones will be brought in. So look, if you are the physically imposing one, you have the audacity to demand for a price. Right? Because you feel like you are entitled. That's why in that story right there, the 6 a.m. workers were the stronger ones, just like a JM right there. Okay? They were the stronger ones. And because they were the stronger ones, they can actually demand for the price because their 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. labor, one person is like equivalent to 5 or 3. Right? It's something like this. All right. You need a laborer? Look at me. I'm strong. I can harvest all of this for you. All right. How much does it cost to hire you? 1 denarius. All right. You demand for 1 denarius. Okay, let's bring out the contract. It talks about an agreement, meaning they shook each other's hand and agreed eye to eye that at the end of the day, you will be paid 1 denarius for 6 a.m., 6 p.m. labor. Now look, here's what happened here. While they were working, the types of JM, the types of Kiko, the types of our stronger guys here, they started working at 6 a.m., right? 6 a.m., syempre, sinong naiwan? Sino yung mga naiwan na laborers? Yung mga tulad nino? Wala akong sinabi, ha? Ang example ko dapat ako. So, yung nag-drop ng name, bahala kayo doon. Yung mga naiwan, yung mga tulad ko. Hindi malakas, pero gwapo. ano ngayon, ha? First, look at this one. And going out about the third hour, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and to them he said, you go into the vineyard too, and whatever is right, I will give you. Now look at this one. I mean, just look at this for a while. The Bible says on the third hour, that is what? 9 a.m. How long have the 6 a.m. workers been working? They've been working for 3 hours now. And then the vineyard owner was like, man, these guys are so good. But even if they were so good, he still went out and looked for other people. He saw a group of people standing. The Bible says they were what? Idle. Let me just try to explain that for a while. Because in the Philippines, whenever we say idle, we have a different notion. Inisip natin, these people are lazy. But that is not the story. It wasn't like they were lazy. It's just that they were unemployed. I mean, nobody likes them. Have you ever felt that way before? You go into a job fair, a job interview. Interviewer asks you so many questions. What can you contribute to the company? You know what? I'm going to be a good asset to the company. Di ba minsan, syempre, pag ini-interview ka for job interview, hindi ka naman sinungaling, pero minsan, mayabang ka ng konti. Kasi you're selling yourself for people to hire you. What will the interviewer tell you? Okay, sir. Okay, we will call you. And guess what? The call never comes. Right? It simply means to say you were not taken in. You're not accepted, right? So there were groups of people who were left behind. Maybe they were scratching their heads. Look at this one. Maybe they're thinking about their family. Maybe they're like thinking, oh my goodness, no one's gonna hire us. Ito na naman, gutom na naman. All right, titigan na naman tayo mamayang dinner. It's something like that. I don't know. Maybe some of you are experiencing all of these things. That, you know, there's just a certain level of luck in the family. I hope this story encourages you. The very fact that Jesus went out, look at this one. Jesus went out and brought them in. Told them, hey guys, go ahead and work. He started telling them to work. It's not that he needs more workers. It's just that he wants them to be blessed. Amen. It's just that he wants them to be blessed. What is the difference between the 6 a.m. workers and the 9 a.m. workers? Together with the 9 a.m. workers are the 12 noon workers, the 3 p.m. workers, and the 5 p.m. workers. Look at this one. The answer is found in verse 4. It says here, you go into the vineyard too, and whatever is right, I will give you. That's the key in this story right here. You remember? 6 a.m. workers, he went to them, hey guys, I want to hire you out. What did it entail? It entailed a contract. For them, there's no contract. They were just told by the vineyard owner, hey, whatever is right, I will give you. He did not say whatever is left. Come on now. I mean, not whatever is left behind in my pocket. He said, whatever is right in your situation right now, that's what I'm going to give you. What's the difference between the 6 a.m. workers and the 9 a.m. workers? Look at this one. The 6 a.m. workers had a contract while the 9 a.m. workers had a word. Ang pinanghawakan ng 6 a.m. workers, papel. Ang pinanghawakan ng 9 a.m. workers, 12 noon workers, 3 p.m. workers, 5 p.m. workers, word ng vineyard owner. Ibig sabihin, you only hold the word of the vineyard owner if you know that the vineyard owner is a good vineyard owner. Most likely, this vineyard owner right here has a reputation for being generous. Let me just try to bring this down to us for a while as we end. Look at this one. If you're here and you're currently tight, you know what I'm talking about, right? I want you to imagine. Just think about your bank account right now. Just think about your ATM. Yung iba sa inyo parang naiiyak. Okay lang yan. Okay lang yan. Dito si Lord. Andito si Lord. If you try to think about how tight you are right now, here's my question for you. What word are you holding fast into? They were holding a word, man. He said he's gonna give us what is right. Guess what? Do you folks realize that God himself said, even in the Bible, the book of Psalms says, you open your mouth wide, he will fill it with food. Come on now. Genesis chapter 9 verse 3, it says there, I give you green foods for food, but I will also give you what? Everything. What words are you holding? If you're tight right now, what words are you holding on to? The Bible says those who are righteous, they will lack no good thing. One of the promises of God for us is what? One of the promises of God for us is provision. For the Lord is a sun and a shield. No good thing does he withhold to those whose walk is blameless. So at the end of the day, instead of just crying it over in the evening, go ahead and get into God's word and start declaring provision over your life. So it gives me a picture that provision has something to do with God's word. That God's provision over my life also has something to do with how much of God's word am I holding into. The promises that God has for us. So they went going out again on the 6th hour and the 9th hour, he did the same thing. In verse 6, it says here about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing and he said to them, why do you stand here idle all day? They said to him, because no one has hired us. He said to them, all right, you go into the vineyard also. Look at this one. He hired people at 5 p.m. What? Work ends at what time? Work ends at 6. You hire people at 5 p.m.? In a business perspective, lugi. Right? You pay people to work for 1 hour. Yung iba, amoy pawis na. Yung mga tao mo 5 p.m., amoy cologne pa. After working for just 1 hour. But he brought them in not because the job needs to be finished. It's simply because he wants to do what is right for them. I want you to understand this. In a worldly perspective, People look for the sharpest, the smartest. I want you to understand this. You will have favor from God no matter what your surnames are, simply because you are a child of God. You will have favor from men because you have God's favor over you. It's actually true. Man looks at the outward. Go ahead and make them look at the outward. But God is the one who's going to get out of his way to orchestrate breakthroughs for you financially. The evening came and the owner of the vineyard, eto na, payday, all right? Well, you're always excited about payday. Come on now. Those who are working here, you know, you guys know what I'm talking about. November is what? 13th month, guys. 13th month for you. Tapos meron pang December na? 14th month. Tapos meron pang January na? Sobra na yan. Okay, sobra na yan. And when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last up to the first. Right? Then it says here, when those hired about the 11th hour came, look at this one, each of them, all right, received a denarius. No, that's crazy. I mean, that's crazy. You work for 1 hour, these guys work for 12 hours. And then now you have the same amount as them. Here's the scenario. First in the line receiving the payment were the 5 p.m. workers. First in the line. Let's say the foreman is there. All right, oh, ito na Brad. Ito na yung denarius mo. Bigay na sa kanya. Ito na, denarius. So binibigay na. Bayaran na to. Bayaran na. After the 5 p.m. workers are the what? The 3 p.m. workers. 12 noon workers. 9 a.m. workers. The last were the 6 a.m. workers. Here's the scenario. They're looking at the 5 p.m. workers, 6 a.m. workers. Mataybay. 1 hour? 1 denarius? 12 hours? Unsa dagway tuwa? Maybe they're like thinking, man, are you gonna get 20 denarius here? They got so excited. But what happened to them? They went there. Look at this one. Now those who were hired first came. They thought they would receive more. Here's what happened. But each of them also received a denarius. They also receive a denarius. And they're like, man, this is so unfair. This is so unfair. I mean, the Bible says they started what? They started grumbling. They started grumbling. Look at this one. You know what? When they started talking about that they're going to receive a denarius, it was actually fine with them. Because first and foremost, they were the ones who agreed with that. In fact, the vineyard owner said, how can that be unfair? If that is what we've talked about. If that is what we've talked about, so you get the 1 denarius, it's actually fine. You know what's the difference here? The difference between the 6 a.m. workers, the 5 p.m. workers, these people right here are recipients of grace. At the end of the day, I want you to understand this. God is more than willing to lavish you. God is more than willing to bless us. As a good father, he's more than willing to bless us for that matter. The problem was that they're a recipient of grace. They were actually contented with the denarius, 6 a.m. workers, until they saw how much the 5 p.m. were paid. Folks, that's the problem. If you keep looking to the provision of your neighbor, if you keep comparing yourself to people on Instagram, that's the time you feel insecure. That's the time you feel like you're a loser. That's the time you feel like God is unfair. No, I don't think so. It's just that those guys understood one thing. They don't deserve anything. They're just holding on to a promise from the vineyard owner, whatever is right. In the eyes of the vineyard owner, whatever is right, what is right is 1 denarius. Why? Because the vineyard owner would basically just want to bless them. And on receiving it, the Bible says they grumbled at the master of the house. Let me just talk about this for a while. Let me just talk about grumbling for a while. Other words for grumbling is complaining. All right? Do you have friends who are like that? They love complaining. Okay, sometimes in our term, we call them nega. Look at this one. This is statistics. People would say, church people, for all of us, would be easy to say, sexual immorality is very wrong. It doesn't honor God. Adultery is very wrong. It doesn't honor God. Cursing is very wrong. It doesn't honor God. But guess what? A lot of us love to love or love to pet the sin of murmuring, the sin of complaining. It's like it's automatic in us. Pagdating mo sa isang lugar, you always look at something that is defective. You talk to a person, you always look at something that is defective. Guess what? You get your provision. You always look at something that's effective. You look at other people. Men, you talk to your husband, you're not a good provider. Tignan mo sila, meron silang ganito. They have something like this. Then you start complaining. You start complaining. Whereas the antidote to that is very simple. It's just gratitude. Gratitude. These guys didn't show gratitude. Because the fact is, denarius is actually good enough for them. Let me just end with this. We'll be done with this one. How dangerous is a murmuring heart? How dangerous is complaining? Just how dangerous? Because sometimes we feel like it's okay, it's just natural. How dangerous is complaining? This is how dangerous it is. Because of murmuring, because of complaining, the Israelites, it took them 40 years to get to the promised land. This is not absolute, but could it be that your breakthrough lies in you stopping in complaining and start being grateful for what God has given you thus far? Thus far. Meaning to say, that's not all that God has for you. There's more in store for you. For now, this is what He's giving you, and He wants to see your character over this situation, over your life. The root of that basically is discontent. I want to share this. Wages are earned. Gifts are freely given. That doesn't just talk about the salvation aspect of our life. Wages are earned. Gifts are freely given. You look at this in the context of provision. Where do you want to side on? You want to side on wages? You want to side on contract? Then that's going to be it. But I want you to understand, we are people of the new covenant. As people of the new covenant, gifts are freely given to us. Ladies and gentlemen, God is more than willing to give you not just your needs, but also your wants. Amen?